And welcome back to the Tune In Podcast.
We're back, boys. I guess it hasn't been that long, but we're back.
By the time most people are watching this, it should be pretty close to Thanksgiving.
Yes, sir.
So, happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Man, just the season.
Write down some things you're grateful for.
Yes, sir. Oh, man. What are you most thankful for, Andrew?
Thankful for my family, this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Kyle Filipowski, yes, and Isaiah Collier.
Oh, man.
What are you most thankful for?
I mean, pretty much the same. My family is amazing, of course. I'm grateful that we have the technology to, like, do podcasts. That's pretty cool. I'm sure our ancestors would be in awe of what we're doing right now. So
they're like, what is going on right now? Why are they? Who are they talking to?
And so this is a pretty cool opportunity. I'm really grateful for this. And I'm grateful for the Jazz, even though we kind of suck right now. But it won't be forever.
Let's go.
We have an exciting episode planned today. We have some games to talk about. Unfortunately, some losses, but we'll go through each of the games, talk about some takeaways. We'll try to spin it into a positive. And then we're going to make our predictions for the next 2 weeks. We probably won't do an episode next week, and so we're going to make a bunch of predictions for our upcoming games. But in between that, I forgot Andrew's going to name our player of the week. We'll see if John Collins can three-peat. And then we'll go through our Jazz news and NBA news. We have some things to talk about with the All-Star game and NBA Cup, of course, is always fun. And then we'll end, of course, with local sports, Utah Hockey Club, BYU. Get it all right here.
Yeah, make sure to listen to this podcast wherever you can find it, Apple, Spotify, YouTube, Amazon, anywhere. And leave us 5 stars. We've also done some pretty good episodes recently. We've been talking about the in-season tournaments. We're starting to talk more about some draft prospects for the Jazz. So if you want to be prepared for the draft, make sure to stay tuned in, and we're here.
And this is episode 52 of Tuned In Jazz.
All right, so I think we know the Jazz's strategy now.
Yep.
After the first
we do
month or so of the season.
Unfortunately.
It is to lose, and that's okay. But we went 0-4. How do you feel about 0-4?
Oh, man. It's almost as bad as 3-12, which is our current record.
Right.
I guess we expected it. I mean, it's not really a surprise. At least we're actually committing to the tank this year. I'm getting excited watching Cooper Flag, so I guess we'll survive.
He is a beast. Yeah, at least our start of the season was 0-6.
Yeah.
So maybe instead of being like the Pistons, we'll just win a game every 2 weeks. And so we can go like 6 losses, 1 win, 6 losses, 1 win or something like that.
Yeah, if you think about it, controlling your record like that is kind of makes you a good team, right? Like you're like, we can control when we win or lose, you know?
Pretty exactly. Good. Yeah, but I guess just picking up where we left off, last Saturday, we played Sacramento.
Yep.
It was actually a pretty close game.
Not bad.
Until the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
The Jazz, they scored 30 points in the first 3 quarters and outscored the Kings by 3 and by 5 in the second and third quarter to actually take the lead going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
But then we blew it in the fourth quarter. We only scored 23 points. Yeah. You kind of wonder if that was intentional, but we did lose, right? Who kind of stood out to you from this game, or what are you seeing from the Kings?
Oh, man. I think we talked last week about De'Aaron Fox's 60-point game. So this was the game after.
His 59, or he had a couple big big games as well.
Yeah, he had 60 right before, and then in this game, he dropped 49 on the Jazz. So, and
insane.
Looking at the rest of the box score, like, they just didn't really have anybody else. They had 2 players that scored more than 10 points other than De'Aaron Fox. And so
Sabonis was out.
Yeah, so he cooked us pretty good. Lowry got us 25. I'm really just glad to see like Collier, Juzang, and Filipowski in the rotation. But we want to get some experience, so it's pretty good.
I think Collier's played more minutes this week than he has all season.
Yeah.
It feels like. Absolutely. So he's finally getting some burn. And not to mention, I know there's not a lot to say for the winning of the Jazz right now, which is fine. But Collier looks like a good defender.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's getting in passing lanes. He's, like, moving his feet. Like, he looks like he could be a good perimeter defender, which is something that a lot of the other guys on the team don't have. So it's kind of nice to see that. At least in his small amount of minutes, he looks good out there on defense.
Yeah, I've seen him have a couple nice finishes around the rim, too. If he can limit those turnovers, I think he's going to turn into a good player.
Right. And all his teammates say he's a good passer, so he's just got to learn how to be careful with it.
Absolutely.
But I love that Markkanen's back in the scoring mindset.
Yeah.
I felt like his shot, he's only averaging like 18 points a game for the first little while in the season. He's starting to pick that up a little bit, which is good to see that he's still that quality of player.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. That was a unfortunate loss, but we'll take it. Move on to Sunday. It was back-to-back on the road. Went down to L.A., played the Clippers in the new Intuit Dome.
That court looked awesome.
Yeah, it did.
I loved the floor.
Yeah, it did. I'm surprised whenever I look at that and they're not, like, every seat full. Like, I guess the Clippers aren't anything to write home about right now, but I would think people would be excited to go to those games, but...
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I was surprised the Jazz shot 83% in the free throw line.
Yeah.
That's pretty good for the Intuit Dome with... all the fans cheering
with
at
young
him.
Players too. Yeah, absolutely.
Speaking so we'll of take that, Laurie still had a pretty good game, and Jordan Clarkson had 21 off the bench.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of Collier, he had 8 assists this game. He actually showed us his passing ability this game.
Yeah.
Harden and Zubac, though, their 2-man game just kind of sliced and diced us all night.
Yeah,
those guys just.
It was also cool to see the return of Chris Dunn.
Oh yeah. Dapping up all
the
boys.
They were hugging and stuff after the game.
Yeah, I saw that. That's
still love the guy. He's such a good defender, too. We missed that.
Yeah.
He had a good game, too. 11 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds. So.
Yeah. Yeah, Ty Lue might be putting his name in there for Coach of the Year right now. He's got them Clippers playing pretty well, so.
Yeah, they're playing Harden ball. It's kind of working
pretty
well.
Absolutely. So.
Cool. And then, next night against the Lakers.
Yep. Oh, man.
I kind of felt like this was not going to go our way, but it was at least pretty close. The Jazz did pretty well in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
It just wasn't enough to come back.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the Dalton Connect, holy cow, 37 points, 9 three-pointers. I think J.J. Redick is...
He might win Rookie of the Year.
I think so. Him and Jared McCain are in a heated battle right now. But, he looked nice. He was just shooting with confidence, and it was crazy.
I guess the silver lining for this game, again, Laurie had a great night. He had 25 points. He's shooting more shots than he has in the past.
Yeah.
And then Keontae had a really good game, too. 4-for-7 from three.
Yeah.
He hasn't been shooting the best from three this season, but this game he was pretty good.
Yeah, he wasn't bad. Yeah, I noticed Cody Williams just been... pretty quiet this week, especially this game. He just kind of, I think he only played 8 minutes. I don't remember him getting injured. It's just, I'm not sure what the answer is on him. If it's like we're not using him right or if he's just got to,
he's kind of more passive on offense. Yeah.
It's kind of hard. But,
yeah. I think give him some time. I think he does seem like kind of a more introvert person.
Yeah. That's true.
I don't know if that translates to on the court, like if that is even true, like if you can be introverted in the way you play basketball. But he does seem like he's not demanding the ball. He's kind of just doing his thing.
Yeah.
I don't know how long of a leash we'll give him to just keep giving him the benefit of the doubt.
For a top 10 pick.
I think I'll give him another month or two of the benefit of the doubt, and then maybe we'll start judging him a little bit more closely. I don't know what you'd say.
Yeah, absolutely. It's weird, though, that his brother doesn't seem very, like, introverted. His brother's very, like, asserts himself in the game. So hopefully his brother will do the Jazz a favor and they'll work out together or something and help him out.
And I think he does seem to be gaining confidence each game.
Yeah.
At least being out there, right? And he's playing a good amount of minutes. So hopefully, like give him a month or two and we'll see where he looks like at that point.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. And then we ended our week playing the Spurs. It feels like half our games have been against the Spurs this year.
Yep, we got another one this week.
Oh,
we'll finish
on
out
Tuesday.
The series. Yep.
But we lost to the Spurs 126-118. Similar fashion to the Lakers, I guess, score-wise. What stuck out to you from this game?
So I had some other commitments, so I didn't watch the second half. I'm glad I didn't.
Yeah.
Second half was kind of rough. But I did watch the first half, and the Jazz looked really good.
Yeah.
At that point. And Wemby didn't even play this game, right?
Yeah.
So that made it a lot easier to score in the paint. And so we were controlling the paint in the first half.
Yeah.
Drew Eubanks was actually playing pretty well.
Yeah, he wasn't
down
bad.
There. Kyle Filipowski was getting assists. Well, he got one, but he was moving the ball around, right? It looked like they were playing really well as a team and mostly in the paint.
Yeah.
Was the main takeaway I had. And then another thing was just Bryce Sensabaugh. Last four games Ooh. Before this, he had gotten DMP coach decision.
Yep.
This game, he had 18 points.
Yeah.
Looked like himself. But most of them coming in that second half where we lost the lead, but he still looked good individually.
Yeah, 18 points is really nice. I thought John Collins had a nice game, 18 and 14.
Yeah.
Once again, though, Harrison Barnes, I think he just has the Jazz number. It feels like every time we play him, he just cooks. I think he...
It doesn't even matter what team he's on, yeah.
I think he had... He led the Spurs with 25 and 10. Obviously, Wemby was out, so that was a big part of him leading. But yeah, he finds a way to cook us every time. So
yeah, I did love Stephon Castle. Looks pretty good.
Yeah, he does. He's cut his hair though.
He was my preseason pick for Rookie of the Year. I think he's in the contention.
Yeah.
For he's not the leader, but he's looking pretty good.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if you know Charles Bassey.
Yeah, he looked.
But he
nice.
Was blocking everything. He's got six blocks tonight.
Yeah,
so
he looked really nice.
Taking Wemby's place.
Chris Paul's such like a calming figure. I mean, that's the role he's played his whole career, but he's just such like a, he just controls the pace of the game and he's just so good at what he does.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So definitely.
Well,
but
that all
we
being,
did what we wanted to do.
Yeah.
Right. 0-4. That's what we were hoping for.
That's right. We're closer to flag.
It's true. It's true.
Well, with that all being said, who do you think takes home player of the week this week from the Jazz? If there is anybody, of course.
Yeah. I think the player of the week for this week has to be Lauri Markkanen.
I could agree with you.
And I think this is why. Because he looked like he'd taken a step back the first few games this season. Maybe a little bit of an injury bug or something. I know he had some back spasms. But he was more consistent scoring this week, getting above 25 points in most of the games. He looks like he's still a great three-point shooter.
Absolutely.
Still looks like far and away the best player on the Jazz at this current point.
Yeah.
And just honestly, even though with the losses, watching Lauri Markkanen is one of the reasons why I still watch the Jazz, and I love just being able to see his game. He's like Klay Thompson, right? Where he doesn't dribble barely at all, but he's such a lethal scorer. You can't really leave him open.
Absolutely.
So first time player of the week to Lauri Markkanen.
Yes, sir.
For this week.
Probably not the last either.
No.
I think I've been thinking a lot this week about how like high the expectations are now that, you know, he's a max player for us. I mean, I just think like I keep hearing this excuse from Will Hardy and even Lowry. Maybe not Lowry, but media, where they talk about like everybody's, you know, like game planning around Lowry and they're doubling him. And it's like,
right,
it's probably true. But also, if you're going to make that much money, you got to do it anyways. You know, like there's players all over the league that are doubled and game planned around and they still do their thing. So I'm happy to see him like get going a little bit.
Yeah. And I think it helps to have spacing around him.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. So I think having Kyle Filipowski on the floor made it a lot easier for him to score than maybe it would have with Walker Kessler.
Oh, absolutely.
So that helps. And then I do think that, like you said, I think even last year, teams knew to game plan for him last year.
Yeah.
This is nothing new.
No.
So I think you're right. Like, we know they're going to game plan for him. And even last year, he showed he could still score.
Absolutely.
Despite that. So I think he has that. That is maybe an excuse a little bit, but not enough to really say that he can't score.
It's fair.
Okay, well, we're not recording next Thanksgiving week, so we got let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games to predict.
Yep, we do.
So we're going way in the future, which is good. So this will kind of give you a sense based on our picks, kind of where we see the Jazz looking to go next couple of weeks with their wins. So
absolutely.
Yeah, so Saturday, to, I guess, would be tomorrow.
Yes.
We're staying in the Delta Center playing the Knicks. Ooh. Who look pretty good. Carl Anthony Towns has been amazing for them.
Yeah.
Start the season. We'll definitely have to make sure to put two bodies on him at yeah. certain times. So, but who do you have winning this?
Yeah, I'm just loving the structure of their team. I think that they have a lot of strengths that are our weaknesses. And so I'm going to say a big loss for the Jazz. Lost by 12. I'm going 12. I'm swinging for the fences.
Okay, that's a pretty decent margin. Yeah. You're brave.
Yeah, I'm going for it.
I'm going the opposite. I'm still saying Knicks win, but Knicks win by 4.
Okay.
Close game.
Fair enough.
Comes down to the wire.
All right. And then we have a little break until Tuesday, but then we have our next Emeritus Cup game against the Spurs here in Utah. What do you think? What are you feeling about that game?
Well, we got to get some wins.
Yeah.
I think we're going to tie the series with the Spurs, get a win by 8 points.
Ooh, okay. I also think we're going to get a win. I have to predict a win every once in a while, I think. Emeritus Cup game, and it's going to be at home. I'm actually going to be at that game, so I'm pretty excited. So I'm going to cheer real loud.
Let's go.
Jazz win by 3 is what I'm going to say. Close game.
Then back-to-back, Nuggets come to town right after that. Who do you got?
I'm going to say Jazz get back-to-back wins here. I'm going to say win by 4. I know the Nuggets are a better team than us, should beat us, but we won some games.
They're on the down right now.
Yeah, they're on the
not
road.
Not playing as good as they did last year.
So maybe we'll be high coming off our Spurs win, and we'll just roll it into the next one. I'm going to say win by 4.
Okay, I got a close loss. I think that Jokic is just such a beast on the boards and in general on offense.
That's
so
fair.
I got Nuggets win by 3.
Okay. And then on Saturday, fourth game of our 5 at home, we're playing Dallas. Dallas coming to town. What are you feeling about the Mavericks? Seems like we've played them a lot too this year.
Yeah. I mean, we'll play them 4 times. I think we've already played them twice.
Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, we beat them once. I think lost once.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking the Dallas is going to come in with revenge. Dallas wins by 10.
Oh, okay. I'm saying Dallas wins by 8. I think you're right on. Dallas is getting healthy. I did hear Luka had some kind of hand injury, but I didn't see how serious it was. So, but they're a good team either way. So I'm going to say lost by 8.
Okay, and then the next night, this is another back-to-back. So we have 2 back-to-backs in a row at home. Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday, now Sunday. The Lakers come to play in the Delta Center. We have been playing them recently, too.
My goodness,
so who do you got for that?
I don't think Dalton Connect goes off for 37 this game. I know that's not part of our prediction, but I'm going to say we game plan a little better, but we probably will still lose. I'm going to say Lakers by 7.
Ooh. You know, this is my boldest take. There's a history that LeBron cannot win in Utah.
That's true.
If you're a real Jazz fan, you know he's had some struggles winning here.
That's right.
So sometimes he doesn't play when he comes to Utah too, because I think he wants to hide from it.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'm actually going to keep with that mindset. This is my boldest take. I'm going to say the Jazz win by 8.
Ooh, okay.
In the Delta Center.
We might need
LeBron
a
can't win
Sunday
in Utah.
Out of Gaines type moment for that, but that'd be awesome. okay, and then we hit the road after a nice little home stand to play the Oklahoma City Thunder, who I believe are, at last I checked, were first in the West. They might be second. I know the Warriors were up there too, but what are you feeling about this game?
I think this is a big loss. The Thunder are rolling right now. It'll be fun to see Cody and Jalen guard each other or play against each other.
Absolutely.
But I got Thunder by 12.
Yeah, maybe this is the game that lights a fire under Cody. We'll see what happens. But I agree with you. I'm going to say Thunder by 16. I'm swinging for the fences there.
Ooh.
I think
it's the biggest margin so far.
Yeah, they're even without Chet, because I think Chet's... I'd be surprised if Chet plays again this year, but Hartenstein's looking really nice. He's fitting so well over there. So, yeah, I feel good about that one.
I love it. And then our last game, till our next episode. We'll be two Fridays on the road against the Blazers.
Yep.
Who do you got in that? That could be a winnable game.
I think so. I'm saying this is going to be a really close game. I think the Jazz are going to lose by one. But
by one.
I think it's going to be like a buzzer beater type. I'm calling it now. It's going to be a really close game.
Okay. I believe it. I'm going to say close, but Blazers win by six. Is what I'm going to say.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, that should be a really good game. Both young teams fighting for spot.
I guess if you add all that up, I got two wins and five losses.
That's what I got too, yeah. We're on the same page.
We'll see how close we are, yeah.
Yeah. A little piece of Jazz news, I guess something that is important is Rodney Hood, Jazz legend, has retired from basketball.
No.
It's pretty sad. Definitely his best years were here with Utah. He was a really good player until seems like his confidence was never right after he left the Jazz. So kind of sad, but sad to see him retire.
I'm going to give you a quick Jazz quiz to see how big of a Jazz fan you are. I don't know if I actually know the answer to this.
Okay.
This is kind of hard. Can you name the players involved in the Rodney Hood trade to the Cavaliers?
Okay. So he was traded to Cleveland.
Yep.
Is that right? Okay. And I think that was the Jordan Clarkson trade. Oh, no, that was, I'm sorry. I think that was the Derrick Rose trade, actually, where we waived Derrick Rose right away, right? Oh, man.
Hold on. I'm still pulling it up.
I feel like we've had so many trades with Cleveland. Right. I can't remember if that was which one, but.
So it was actually a three-team trade.
Oh, okay.
So it kind of gets confusing.
Yeah.
If I'm remembering right, I think you're right that we got Derrick Rose, and then I think we also got Jay Crowder.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
If that sounds right.
I think you're right, yeah. I forgot about
and
Jay Crowder.
And we also traded away Joe Johnson in this trade.
Oh, okay.
And George Hill. Actually, I think George Hill was already on the Kings, and he got traded to the Cavaliers.
Oh, he was just involved. Yeah. Dang. Yeah, I remember that was just such a crazy time as a Jazz fan, like. We just lost Gordon Hayward. Donovan Mitchell was kind of just becoming who he is. And we had all kind of lost hope. And all of a sudden, Donovan Mitchell shows up and is the guy. And Rodney Hood kind of lost his, spot. It was kind of sad, but.
Yeah, we were thinking Rodney Hood was the future for a year or two.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I was watching Donovan Mitchell hit like 12,000 points or something the other day. So on Instagram, they posted his Jazz highlights.
I'm so happy for him.
And Rookie Donovan was something else.
Yeah, he was. It's insane.
He was dunking on people. Crazy, crazy, crazy. But we'll miss you, Rodney Hood. You always have a place in our heart as Jazz fans. He had some good years.
Yeah, hopefully he has a good life. There's more to life than basketball, so hopefully he finds peace whatever he's doing. So, speaking of finding peace, though, I don't know what their podcast is called, but Steven Jackson and...
All the Smoke.
Is it Matt Barnes? Oh, yeah. All the Smoke. That's what it is. They had Deron Williams on. Did you see this clip? I think I sent it to you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They asked him about, we all remember back when Jerry Sloan retired, there was this big narrative that Deron Williams made him retire. And then that's when we traded for Derek Favors and got the pick that led to Enes Kanter. Anyways, big old saga there. But they asked Deron Williams about, his relationship with Coach Sloan and how things ended up. And I thought it was pretty cool. He talked about how he was just a young player, had a lot of attitude. And anyways, he was able to, a couple years ago, go meet with Coach Sloan and kind of clear things up, which I thought was kind of cool. We don't always get to hear those parts of, these relationships and stuff. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I think... It was good to just know that he's being honest.
Yeah,
I think one of the hard things for me with some of these teams, and we're seeing this right now with the Sixers, we'll get into that.
Yeah.
Sometimes the best thing to do is just be honest with the media or fans, right? And then we can kind of understand what's going on with the Jazz, Deron Williams. That whole situation was kind of... in the media, but also not. It felt like things were getting out that maybe they didn't want to. it's hard to know what they wanted to tell the media versus they want to keep on the down low.
Yeah.
But I think it's just good to hear that they kind of came to an agreement, kind of forgive each other, right? And I hope that moving forward, the Jazz have those conversations sooner than waiting and holding grudges. And I hope that Deron Williams feels good about that, right? And then, and then Jerry Sloan, rest in peace to him, the GOAT, right?
Absolutely.
Coach for the Jazz. So
absolutely.
Kind of interesting that he was talking about it, though.
Yeah, I think it's cool, too. Like, Deron talked about his best years being in Utah, which we knew that, but like, you always wonder, did he think that? Because he had some good years in Brooklyn, too. But it seems like he just really reveres Utah, and he was willing to like put his ego aside to talk to Coach Sloan before he died. And I'm just glad we're in a good spot with Deron Williams. Hopefully we'll get there with Gordon Hayward someday.
I think Gordon Hayward's good. I don't think we're good.
Well, I don't, but okay. But talking about that though, I don't think that Gordon Hayward has ever actually been honest about how that all went down. But
that's true. That's true.
But I do think
maybe we'll have some sort of podcast coming later.
Yeah. But I do think Gordon Hayward, he was able to do whatever he wanted to. So I guess he didn't really owe us anything. But
kind of. But yeah, speaking of drama, the Philadelphia 76ers are a hot mess right now.
Yes, they are.
I want to share with you, I was listening to NBA TV. Isaiah Thomas was talking about this situation. And of course, the news that came out was that Tyrese Maxey and the Sixers had this meeting where Tyrese Maxey called out Joel Embiid for not being on time to everything, is what he said. And then Joel Embiid's come out, and I don't know how this information even got to the public, first of all, but Joel Embiid's been like not really taking ownership of it. He's kind of mad that this even got out.
Yeah.
But Isaiah Thomas was saying on the show, one of the biggest things that you can, biggest ways that you could disrespect him is by being late.
Ooh.
And not being in shape. And Joel Embiid,
it's true,
is late and he's not in shape.
Nope.
He does not look good. And so like, I like that, right? I feel like if I were Tyrese Maxey, I'm putting in all this work to make this team work. I'm getting injured on the floor, putting it all out there.
Absolutely.
And you come to work late, or you don't come to work in shape, that makes me lose a lot of respect.
Yep.
Right?
Absolutely.
And so I completely agree with Isaiah Thomas. I think that's something that it, as a coworker or as a basketball player, that you want to see in your teammates or in your coworkers, see them put forth the effort the same way you do. But sorry for that long rant.
Yeah, absolutely.
What are your thoughts about this?
No, I totally agree with you. I think
what they said.
I think like the Sixers have shown so much commitment to him too. Like they've gone out and gotten guys to support him. I mean, this is like, if you look at this team, this is probably the best team that's ever been around Joel Embiid. Like if you just look at the guys, Paul George, Tyrese Maxey, even like Jared McCain all of a sudden blowing up, like he's never had more support than this, and he's just not showing up right when they need him the most. And
right,
I think I've even heard reports that he's been like trying to find who leaked the information, and it's like it kind of reminds me a little bit of, I remember hearing reports of when Russ and maybe it was Chris Paul, but somebody with James Harden, that they called him out in Houston. And that was kind of before things started blowing up with James Harden in the strip clubs and, you know, getting traded eventually. I'm sure Joel Embiid's not doing that, but it might be the beginning of the end. Their record is like worse than ours, isn't it? It's pretty bad.
Worst in the NBA.
Yeah. So they got to get it figured out. I've been seeing some fans saying, let's just trade Embiid and build around McCain, which I don't know if that seems a little extreme, but makes you wonder.
Honestly, maybe trading Embiid right now, he has some value.
That's
in
true.
The next year or two, who knows if he'll have value, right?
It's true.
He seems like a Sixer for life guy, but man, this could be it for them. Like, they are not winning games.
Nope. Paul George just got another knee injury too, from what I heard. So
yeah,
not great.
This might just be a scrap season for them, especially if they lose the next couple of weeks like they have been. That's a hard hole to dig yourself out of. So, dude, but the good thing is the East is terrible right now. So they could still make the playoffs with an awful record.
Dude, if they do bad enough to get Cooper Flagg over us, I'm literally done watching basketball. Like, this is it for me. So a lot at stake here.
Right. So we'll see how that goes. We'll monitor that team because it's interesting to see what they do.
Yeah, it is.
But some more exciting news came out, less dramatic. The All-Star format is going to be different this year.
Let's go.
I feel like that's a broken record, right? Every year it's a different format.
Yeah.
So this format is going to be a tournament style game with four different teams, which will be really exciting. Maybe this will finally get them to play hard, but we'll see.
Yeah.
What was cool to me is they actually reported that Steph Curry has been in talks with the NBA and Adam Silver quite a bit because the All-Star game is in San Francisco.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
So he's been a really big part of this. So maybe this was partly his idea.
Yeah.
Do you think this tournament format will encourage the players to play hard? If so, why? Or if not, why?
I mean, I've always been somebody that hasn't been super worried about the All-Star game. Like, I personally don't understand the need for it to be a crazy competitive game, but I do think this will be kind of cool. My early prediction, though, is I think the Rising Stars, who are going to be the fourth team, are going to win it all. I think they're going to take over. Those guys have motivation to play hard, so why not?
Do you think Wemby will be on the Rising Stars?
Oh, interesting.
Dude, because he might also be an All-Star, though, so I don't know if he can be on
That's
both.
True. Could we see like a Keontae George Wemby lob at some point?
Dang, that'd be pretty
that'd
sweet.
Be pretty dope. Yeah, so that could be kind of fun. A little four team. I think there's three teams of eight and the Rising Stars winner. And then they'll have like a little tournament. It'd be kind of fun. Kind of interesting.
Yeah, I like the idea of the Rising Stars being part of it because I think we can trust them to play hard more than the All-Stars.
They got something to prove.
They're young. They're hungry.
Yeah.
If they could dunk on LeBron in the All-Star game, they'll do it.
Yeah, right.
Right. So I think that could bring some competitive nature.
Yeah.
But if the Rising Stars lose in the first round, I think the final game might not be as good. So we've got to kind of pull for them to win their game.
I think so too.
And then the other part of the report, the 3-point contest is looking to involve Sabrina again.
Yep.
But this time, they might do like a 2v2 and it'd be Steph, Sabrina, Clay, and Caitlin Clark.
Ooh.
How much, man. That would probably bring in so much revenue.
Yeah, it would.
Put Caitlin Clark's name in there.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I don't know who I think would win. I mean, I think Steph's a better shooter than Clay. Not much better, but better. And I think Caitlin's a better shooter than Sabrina, probably about the same margin. That would be pretty interesting. I don't know. That'd be kind of crazy.
Yeah.
It'd be fun to watch.
I hope that it's not Steph and Caitlin because I think that would...
Yeah, they'd get cooked.
They would definitely win. Yeah. So hopefully it's not... I think that would be a really exciting. That might be the highlight of the All-Star weekend if they end up doing that.
I think that would work too because I think last year Sabrina, she moved back to the NBA 3-point line and that's already how far out Caitlin Clark shoots anyways. She's pretty deep range. So.
Yeah. She just doesn't care.
Yeah, so she's the right pick for that, I think. So that'd be fun to watch.
No, we'll keep our tabs on that. I hope that does happen. I think it's kind of more of a consideration, but we'll see what ends up happening.
I think so, yeah. Well, NBA Cup is going. We talked a little bit about the Jazz's games. We got one this week. I think we had this one this last week. Was that the Clippers game, I believe? But other than that, and around the NBA, has there been any Emeritus Cup games that stuck out to you or plays or anything?
Ooh, I don't know if I've seen any this week.
Yeah, it's been a little slow.
It's been a little bit slower, but we're getting closer to the knockout stage, which is kind of, last year was the most exciting part. Tyrese Halliburton kind of became a star during the NBA Cup. So I'm just kind of looking for who's going to be that breakout guy
absolutely.
In the knockout stage. So honestly, I'm kind of waiting for that, if I'm being real. But been liking the courts and been liking the games. So we'll see what happens. Anything you've seen from that?
I think, the Lakers are looking really nice right now. I kind of was thinking about it, and I kind of feel like, especially with LeBron and AD, like early in the season, they have so much energy, especially LeBron with his age. And NBA Cup just seems like a good format for them compared to like 82 games later in the playoffs, you know? So I think they're looking really nice. Yep. Also, I saw a clip of the Raptors. I don't know how well they're doing, but their court and jerseys look very nice, I will say. Probably my favorite so far.
They are 0-2 in the NBA Cup games, unfortunately.
Well, their court's 2-0,
but guess who's, 2-0 that you'd never guess?
Brooklyn? That's just a shot in the dark. Who is it?
No, they're 1-1.
Oh, shoot.
But you're in the right ballpark.
Oh, really?
It's Eastern Conference.
Sixers? Oh, no.
Okay. The Pistons.
Oh, the Pistons? Okay.
Pistons are 2-0 in the NBA Cup.
Okay.
So who knows?
Good for
them.
So
are the Hawks, too, which is surprising.
Yeah, interesting. Huh. This is kind of fun. It gives teams some hope early in the season, at least. It's kind of cool. Yeah. How's your fantasy team doing? Has it been a good week for you, your guys?
I won last week.
Okay.
When we faced.
Yeah,
Thanks to Giannis and De'Aaron Fox,
they
went off.
Yeah.
This week, it's like pretty dead even so far.
Yeah.
Tyrese Maxey's finally back from his injury, so
I'm
grateful for that. But his first game back, he went like 2-for-13.
Yeah.
That was awful. And then Jimmy Butler, he just came back from his injury, and I'm excited to start playing him.
Yeah, that's sick.
So
my matchup this week forgot to set his lineups, so I'm absolutely killing him. If I don't know if we've mentioned this before, but the way our league works is you have 9 categories, and you win or lose each category. And I'm up 8-1 right now. And
holy cow!
The only one that I'm losing in his turnovers, and I'm only getting more turnovers because I have players playing, so I'm pretty much
I guess you can win that one if you don't have anybody.
So
that's funny.
It's an interesting strat.
Who's like your standout guy? You got Damian Lillard. He's been pretty good.
He's been hooping this week. Yeah, Brandon Miller's been playing really well lately. He hasn't been my best guy, but he's been surprising this week.
Yeah, I also picked up Cam Johnson.
Ooh,
and
nice.
He's been a beast.
Yeah.
So,
I saw somebody dropped Dalton Connect today, and I was tempted to go grab him, but I don't know who I would drop, so kind of interesting. But
yeah, for sure. Okay, and then getting into some local sports. Our Utah Hockey Club, I think they lost their games this week.
Yeah.
Not too great. 2-6 to the Capitals.
Oh, man.
And then we also lost to the Boston Bruins.
Yeah.
Just by 1 point, though.
Yeah.
And then we're going on a big long road trip to Pittsburgh Penguins, Maple Leafs, and Canadiens.
Yeah.
Traveling the globe, honestly.
Yeah.
Going up to Canada. It's kind of fun with NHL. There's like almost maybe like 6 or 7 Canadian teams.
Yeah,
so
it's wild.
They'll travel quite a bit.
Yeah, it seems like, I don't know. It seems like we didn't have a good season last season from what I'm hearing from people. So 7-9-3 is not too bad, I guess. I think. I don't know.
Right.
We're still learning hockey, so.
Yep, and I think we have a chance to make the wild card.
Oh, do we? Yeah.
We got to start winning some games because losing recently hasn't helped, but
yeah.
We're in the mix,
yeah.
Right? So we're not the bottom of the league, but we're not in the playoffs. So it's kind of interesting. We'll see if they make the wild card because I think they do have a pretty good shot at making it, kind of depending on the next month or two, seeing if they can win some games.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of making it, it's do or die time for the Cougs. We lost last week.
Ooh,
picked up their first loss, 9-1.
Tough game.
Yeah, really tough. Were you at the game? It was pretty cold.
Yeah.
It was pretty cold.
It was 30 degrees the whole time, maybe colder. My nose was numb.
Yeah.
The other parts of my body, I think I had like 3 layers on almost everywhere.
Yeah, it's nice sitting in the rock because you kind of were packed in there and it's a little warmer, but you're still like chattering a little bit. just a tough loss.
Just so many mistakes that really cost us the game.
Absolutely.
That punt return where it hit us and we muffed it.
Yeah.
That was a hard mistake to come back from. And then, just in general, Retzlaff wasn't as good as he has been in some of the past games. So, man, that game was hard. And I think Kansas, we might have underestimated them.
Absolutely.
They actually looked pretty solid out there.
Yeah, that pick at the end of the first half also killed us. I honestly just think the Cougs, like, We've just been playing with fire too much. We've had like 4 wins this year in the last couple minutes, which has been okay, but you can't keep doing that and expect it to always end in a win. So
at least we had a little bit of breathing room.
Yeah.
Now we really need to win our next 2 games to be in the Big 12 championship.
Yeah. I think if we lose this game, Arizona State's 8-2. They're now ranked, so that's kind of, that'll be good for us. If we lose this game, I believe they'll have tiebreaker over us, and Colorado will as well. So it's going to be tough if you don't win
this
one.
Big game coming up.
Yeah.
Big game. And then Yegor Demin is looking like,
yes, sir,
a lottery pick.
Yep.
Maybe a top 5 pick, honestly.
Yeah.
He's got such good passing. I'm excited.
Yeah, he does.
I think they play tomorrow too at the Marriott Center.
I saw ESPN had him at 4 the other day, 4th pick in the draft.
Holy.
So people are noticing. Hopefully AJ DeBonce is noticing the attention he's getting here and what he could do too. So that'd be interesting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that pro potential is getting bumped up to like an A minus.
That's right.
Maybe a.
Provo.
So send the house.
That's right. That's right. Call their family. Do whatever you got to do. Check their social media.
DM on social media.
That's right. Hard sell, soft sell, whatever kind of sell we need to do, we'll do it.
I love it. Well, thank you for listening to this episode of the Tuned In Jazz podcast. We're grateful for all of you listeners. Make sure to check us out on any platform that you can find episodes. Check out our last couple episodes. We've broken down, given our players of the week for the first few weeks of the season. Talk about the in-season tournament and some draft prospects for the Jazz. And stay tuned as we keep you in line with all the games coming up, where the Jazz might land in the lottery and the prospects, and really all news Jazz. Take care.
Have a happy Thanksgiving.